Welcome back, friends, for part two of our three-part series in the Hickory relaunch story. We hope that you've had the chance to listen to the first part of the hour-long discussion that I had with the co-pastors and leaders of this relaunch. But we're going to continue on in this table discussion I had with the leaders of GC Hickory. So we hope you find inspiration, hope, and some strategies as you move forward in becoming the healthiest expression of church in your target community.
You mentioned about developing a core team. How did you pick your core team members, and even like talk about the core team as a whole, even like your meetings when you would get together? What did that look like? What did you guys do? You talked about it being relationally focused and going deeper as a team and becoming more connected. How did you do those things?
From my memory, it was kind of like what I was saying about you don't really know where you're going. You know, we knew we had an idea. Certain people leaning in, some you think are leaning in aren't, and it would just kind of organically, it was the people that really leaned in.
And when you say lean in, you're talking interested, ones that kind of seem kind of interested, yeah.
Yeah.
And part of it was choosing, I think we chose the couples that did live here mm-hmm. already in Hickory, because they had... When we mentioned, you know, replanting the church, they were like, "Oh, that would be amazing to have the church, in, you know, near us." Not that it wasn't near them before, but just, you know, in their backyard kind of thing, where they could, felt like they could contribute more
in their neighborhood,
right?
Yeah.
I think it's important that your leaders have relational credibility, and the folks that were on the team really had credibility within the church. So not only were they available and teachable and willing to do the work of the replant, which is going to be substantial, they had leadership credibility within our church. And it's really interesting, the makeup, because there are three folks on our core team, about 8-9 people, that are retired. And sometimes, you know, in retirement, it's kick back and enjoy life, and that's sweet if it's like that. But these ones said, "We're here, we're available, we have time. Put us to work."
Jesus, yeah.
And so it's just a really cool dynamic between these couples that are part of this core team. And so we decided we were going to meet regularly in each other's homes, which I think created a level of intimacy and relationship just over a meal. We refused to gather together and just have a meeting without a meal. So we'd break bread together, we'd pray together. Every time we gathered, we would share the Lord's Supper, the bread and the wine together, just to experience the unity that we have in Jesus Christ. And I think that did something in our souls as we were working toward this replant. So that's sort of the strategy behind it. Who's really popping in our church that want to be a part of this? But Emily said a really key thing. We want our ministry leaders to live in the community. And that might mean that there are some who really, you know, have something to offer, but if they're living 30, 45 minutes away, it's a little more challenging for us to say we're a community church if our leaders aren't actually living right there. So we're so small as a church, like if you're here and want to work, we'll put you to work, but we really have a priority and a core value of people living right here in Hickory.
When you guys were meeting together and sharing a meal together and having those, I almost don't want to say meetings, mm-hmm. because even though you guys were meeting, it almost sounded like it was just like friends getting together. What happened with the team?
One of the things that happened that is going to serve us so well going forward is, as we got to know each other better, one of the things that we discovered was what each other's strengths and weaknesses are. So we
have a weakness?
More than one. So, you know, we learned, for example, that someone might be gifted in a particular area that we didn't know that they were gifted in that area. And one of the things that we kind of have decided early on in this is that we have our vision for what this may look like, But we also know that the Holy Spirit can wreck our plans entirely and have something far better than anything we imagine. And so one of the things that we have emphasized, especially with our core team, is that, look, whatever your gifts are, however the Holy Spirit has uniquely gifted you, let's challenge each other on this team to use that gift or those gifts that, we each have to build community in the church, to build community in the community, to build relationship, to share the love of Christ. And instead of going into this thinking, okay, we have to have this, this, and that ministry in place, but nobody to fill it because nobody's gifted to do that, throw all that aside. How are you uniquely gifted, and how am I uniquely gifted, and how can we use those gifts to edify the body and to strengthen our church family and consequently to strengthen the community around us?
How does that work? Because there's certain things that need to get done, of course, within a community or an organization. And maybe there might not be somebody within a church that is necessarily, quote unquote, gifted to do that, but it's a necessary thing to do. Mm-hmm. How do you balance all that?
That's a good question. I'll let Elizabeth answer.
Oh, the wise one.
See what I did there?
Yeah.
We all saw it. And they saw it too.
Well, I mean, that's another thing we've discovered with our team, building trust and building just deep affection for each other and friendship, is that this is a group of really servant-hearted people. Mm-hmm. And if there's a task that really needs to get done that somebody doesn't prefer to do, they still jump in and do it, and with an eye to the future of who's going to come our way that maybe they'll love to do this.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, right now I'm putting together the formatting, the layout, and everything for our program every week.
Which is what we used to call a what?
A bulletin. We've made a conscious decision to call it a program because more unchurched people are familiar with program versus bulletin is kind of a churchy thing. So, but putting this program together, I can do it, and I do it gladly in the name of service. But it is not it. Yeah,
it's not your cup of tea.
I don't love it, and I know that somebody who maybe just loves that kind of publishing work will come along. And in the meantime, I'll do it. Yeah.
But it sounds like it depends on the starting point. You guys are not starting from the spot of we need these ministries, so let's find warm bodies to fill those ministries. But yeah, you're starting from the point of what's the giftedness that we have as a team, as a congregation. Mm-hmm. How can we use those? And then, okay, we have these things that are necessary. Okay, who's willing to do that for this season until somebody else comes along? It's a different starting point is what it almost sounds like.
And I would say it goes even one step further. It's not just that we're starting from what are the gifts and the talents and the passions of the people we have. More importantly, what does Hickory as a community need?
Mm.
Because we're not just parachuting in with some template for what we have to offer the community. We are going with the mindset of what's already going on here in Hickory, to get to know the people and get to know the rhythms and the needs and see where our gifts and talents match up to that. You know, I might have a passion for crocheting, and I could put my foot down and say, every Tuesday night at our community building, we will have a crocheting night. And if no one in Hickory wants to learn to crochet, like what's the good in that? So it's both. It's we're not forcing, like Paul David said, we're not forcing a children's ministry if we don't have the space or someone talented to do it.
Or any children.
Yet. We're coming alongside the community and really want to say, we're here to serve. What do you need?
But to go more a little bit with the core team, was there any kind of like particular steps that you guys tried to, not necessarily go along with, but it's like, okay, well, this is when we're kind of hoping to launch, and these are the things that we kind of need to do. So as a core team, you know, this is kind of the process that we kind of need to go through before we actually open the doors. Mm-hmm. You know, what did that look like as a core team? Were there particular phases in this replant?
I think we just set some goals, you know, by this time, you know, we hope to find a building, and by this time we hope to move, or, you know, it we did have to, because human nature, you know, we could have just met once a week and had fun, just our core team, and never, you know, driven it further down the road. We just set timelines kind of for finding a place. And
what did that look like? What did that timeline look like? And from what I heard, you know, talking with Anthony on the phone, that I know that timeline is like hitting a moving target.
Yeah.
but what, at first, what did that look like? What was y'all's kind of timeline, more or less?
Well, we started, our core team started meeting together regularly and praying together and eating together, back in June of 2017-ish, June or July. And we kind of figured that we would remain at our other location through the end of the year. We needed time. It takes time. It takes time to get to know each other and to connect with each other and for trust to be built. And so we just felt like, you know, minimum spend. Let's spend six months as a team praying together, getting to know each other better, getting to know one another's strengths, encouraging each other to use their strengths, right? Because some people have strengths and gifts, but they're afraid to use them. I'm not talking about anyone in particular.
Okay.
We felt like meeting as a core team for 6 months, and then initially, I think the hope was to have a place to move into by January of 2018. Well, we just didn't have a place to go to. There wasn't anything that was adequate. We did consider going to the YMCA, which they would have let us, and the price was really good. But, you know, sometimes at the end of the day, the cost is not the most important thing. We would have been setting up and taking down every Sunday. We would not have had a facility to operate out of during the week, which was, we felt, critical for what we were wanting to do here. Mm-hmm. So we kicked the can down the road and we said, look, we're just going to continue to pray and look. And fortunately, we had a landlord that was willing to let us just rent month to month in our previous location. So we didn't have a date that we absolutely had to get out. But we kept looking and kept waiting. And in the meantime, in the first few months of 2018, our core team continued to meet together and pray together. And we had team members out looking at spaces. I mean, Ron and Gail Stoddard, man, they're members of our team. They were all over Hickory looking at facilities for us. And, you know, Ron Stoddard, he's a retired GCI pastor. He and his wife spent about 40 years as GCI pastors. Then they retired and moved to Hickory, North Carolina, of all places. And now they are jumping right back into things and want to be a part of something bigger than themselves, you know. So, yeah, that timeline got moved around a lot. It was a moving target, but, you know, we just continued with the attitude that, look, the Holy Spirit, when the time is right, when the place is right, when the location is right, when the price is right, when all the things are right, He's going to provide exactly what we needed. And sitting here tonight, here we are in the middle of April, we really believe that He has done all of those things for us. So the timeline, yeah, it's been a bit of a moving target. We set those goals, but we also said, hey, we got to be flexible in all of this. Let's not be so married to any one particular idea that we get, you know, wrapped around the axle and can't progress. So.
It sounds like you guys, like you had said, Emily, had goals. You had timelines. You had certain things set up. But you also had this flexibility through prayer.
Definitely.
Yeah. Of saying, God, where are you taking us? Where are you moving us?
And flexibility along with some idea of even a target community. You know, that was a big part of the preparation for the replant. And as Elizabeth has already said, we're we're going through a listening campaign right now, understanding what the needs are of the city. But I think the Lord placed a burden on our heart to serve the students and faculty, maybe, at Lenoir Ryan University, which is a small college here in Hickory, North Carolina. And so we've always sort of had that as part of our ground zero as well of where ministry is going to happen. We don't know what shape it's going to take yet, and we're not predetermining that, but we're trying to understand what the needs are. So even identifying a group of people that we feel like we have the capacity to serve was really important to have some of that aligned, while also saying, Holy Spirit, have your way. I mean, if it's another community that we're going to be serving, and it's, we're not naive to think it's going to be that one community. It's not. However, we do think we can make a difference there. We really want to.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this GC Relaunch series. As a pastor or church leader, maybe you find yourself reflecting on your church's journey. Whether you are seeing that you may need to relaunch, or maybe you're somewhere in the relaunch journey, our desire is that you have found some hope in knowing that you're not alone. And maybe you picked up some strategies from GC Hickory. If you think your church needs to look into relaunching into their target community, then reach out to us at info@gci.org.